St. Luke, the second chapter. Let's read quite a bit of scripture here. First verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the customs of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know, one thing is this really outstanding here about Jesus tarrying back in Jerusalem. And that is, the Bible said that the parents went seeking after Jesus. They went seeking after Jesus. And you know, that's what the Bible teaches that we are to do today. And that is seek after Jesus, if happily that we might be found of him. To seek Jesus while he may be found, to call upon the name of the Lord while he is near. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And living in this hour and in this moment that we're living in right now, it is the time when we ought to seek the Lord with all of our heart. For the Bible tells us that in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, then, saith the Lord, I shall be found. But if we don't seek God with all of our heart, we cannot be found by the Lord. If I seek God partly, if I seek God just out of ambition, if I seek God out of zeal, if I seek God for personal motives, for personal benefits, for personal gains, then I cannot obtain unto Christ. I cannot find Christ. But if I seek God for no other reason than salvation, and I seek him with all of my heart, then I can be found of God. You know, the Bible said here that the Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost, came upon this old prophet. The Spirit of the Lord, or the Holy Ghost, came upon him. And then the Bible said that it was revealed to him that he should not see death until God's Christ came into the world. You know, that's the place that we need to live in. We need to live in such a place that the great Spirit of God can come upon us and the Holy Ghost can nourish our soul in such a way that it will be revealed to us as to what God is about to do or what God is wanting to do in our lives. When we get into this place, then we're having communion with God. You know, we have what we call natural communion, and then we have foot washing or feet washing. But that's only typical of the washing of the water of the soul. You know, as we wash one another's soul with the water. I go down to Gary and I wash Gary's feet with water. That's typical of Christ himself washing our soul. Because we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I wash his feet with water. The washing of the water of the Word. Washing one another's soul. It's Christ within us. Washing our soul. And this is a form of communion with God. For at the same time we break the bread and we drink the wine. Which is a communion. But see, the real communion is to eat his flesh, to drink his blood, and then to have our soul washed by the washing of the water of the Word. To have the real communion is to have a spiritual communion with Christ. in that the Holy Ghost can come upon us as it did this prophet and reveal to us the will of God and let Christ's mind be in us. You know, one thing I guess we need to understand, and that is that a human spirit is a mind. I've said this a lot of times in talking to the people, but I don't believe that the people have fully perceived that a spirit is a mind. A spirit is a life, or a spirit is a mind. And your spirit talks to your brain. Your spirit is responsible for the thoughts that's on your brain. It is through your spirit that these things come. That is, I've got natural senses, five senses in the body, human senses. And all of the things that happen round about, my human senses records that through my energetic part, through my being, through the energy of the life, that is natural life that is within me. And that energy is typical of the spirit of mankind. Because man's spirit is nothing more than energy as far as a natural definition. But it is through that the brain has what we call a mind. The mind is not the brain, and the brain is not the mind. How do you understand that? See, my brain is one thing, my mind is another thing. My mind is what speaks to my brain, and my brain is the controlling part of my members. It is not my mind that controls my members. It is my brain that controls my members. But if it was not for my mind speaking to my brain or speaking through my brain, then I'd be all out of control. Isn't that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? So then when the angel of the Lord came upon them when they were out in the fields, the Bible said the shepherds watching over their sheep by night or their flock by night, all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now, how could the angel of the Lord come upon them? You know, when we think in terms of manhood, and you think about an angel that's bigger than man, some great giant of a person falling upon you. So, we know that isn't what God was saying. It means that an angel is a spirit, that it is a great light. And this great angel of God, this great spiritual being, came upon them as they were out there. The Bible said when Jesus was praying in the wilderness, fasting, seeking, all of a sudden the angel of the Lord came to him. The angels of God ministered to him. And you know, a lot of times when I'm in need in my spirit, I have need of encouragement and I have need of strength. God will send the Spirit of the Lord, or He will send the angelic host, and they will minister to me. Because angels are not only ministering spirits for heirs of salvation, but to heirs of salvation. Not only to heirs of salvation, but for heirs of salvation. And you know, when we can get a hold of this, we've really got a treasure. When I can realize that an angel can come upon me and strengthen me, to where I can do like Samson, I can just catch a lion and tear him apart. Then that really makes me something. See, because if I'm out somewhere in the jungle or somewhere and a lion pounces on me, if I've got faith in God, then the Spirit of God will come upon me. When it does, I've got supernatural strength. I don't have to worry at any time because God will do it all for me. The angel of the Lord, the Bible said, God gives His angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. So then God is watching over us. God is helping us. God is our spiritual benefit, our help and our guide, our Savior. And the angels of God encamp round about us so that we can be filled with the life of God. And we record on our brain cells here the mind of that angelic being when He comes present. We record on our brain the mind of God, which is the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. The Holy Ghost on the inside of me is the mind of God. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? I have within me the mind of Christ because I have God's Spirit. And the mind is a spirit. That means at certain times that mind is going to reveal himself to me if I humble my heart, if I submit myself. God will cause that mind to speak to my brain in intelligence, and I can be moved by the great Holy Spirit of the living God. What a wonderful thought to know that I'm relative to God and relative to heaven. You know, sometimes we feel that we're so distant from God and that we're not relative to God at all. But I want you to know that we're relative to God, and we're not near so distant from God as you might think that one is. And so then we find ourselves relative to Christ. I can as the shepherds on the hillside watching over their flock by night. I can come into the presence of God, and the angel of the Lord can come upon me. And the Spirit of God can overshadow me. And the voice can speak to me. And I can hear the wonderful words of the Son of God. So then the Bible said, as the shepherds kept their flock by night, the angel of the Lord came upon them. A great fear came over them because there was a supernatural power that had come down in their midst. And then the Bible said concerning this prophet that the Spirit of God came upon him, that the Holy Ghost overshadowed him. You know, the Bible said when Mary conceived, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. See, the Holy Spirit came upon her. And it's a power that creates. It's a power that can speak into existence. The great Holy Spirit, though it's invisible, yet it is not limited in that God as a spirit can do anything. Isn't that right? God as a spirit can do anything. You know, because God is a spirit and because we can't see him with our natural eyes, then we have a tendency just to put God out of the picture altogether. We don't conform to the ways of God. We don't honor the ways of God. We don't esteem the Word of God. But listen, children of God, remember one thing, that God, being a spirit, though he is invisible, yet he is the all-powerful one. And the Bible says his eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. So then, we have an opportunity to hear from heaven. When they went through the wilderness, as they journeyed through the wilderness, if you recall, God did great things. There, as they journeyed through the wilderness, God, being moved by his power, being moved by his compassion and spirit, he done great things for them. You love Jesus? All right. Now, we appreciate those that come to find fault, you know, because we know that those are children of the devil. And they come to cause us trouble, and we appreciate the fact that they come in and reveal themselves. That way we don't have to worry about them. Now, so then we see God doing some great thing among us. We see the Spirit of God moving in our behalf. And we can tell that God, though he's a spirit, yet he is not limited. Isn't that right? God is not limited. God is the great spiritual power of the universe, the great eternal one. And he is not limited. But he is looking down from heaven, and he is blessing us. He is making our enemies to be at peace with us. So then we are thankful for the wonderful presence of God. See, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. The Spirit of the Lord, the carnal mind is enmity to God, just as that was. The carnal mind is the enemy of God. See, and it doesn't like God's way. It doesn't want to conform to God's will and God's word. But we're to be bold as a lion, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. Just keep going on for God. No matter what happens. So we see that we're relative to heaven. We are relative to heaven. See, the angel of the Lord can come present. A lot of times when you're praying, the angel of the Lord will come present as it did the shepherds on the hillside. Now, the shepherds on the hillside wasn't doing any great strenuous thing in trying to contact God. A lot of times we think the only communication that we can have with God It's when we get into a great strain, you know, and we've got ourselves under severe punishment, trying to punish ourselves through some means of sacrifice. You know, we think that's the only way that we can get in touch with God. But in the day that we're living in, we're in the days of grace. God talks to people all through the day. God talks to people. And all you've got to do is have God's Spirit and all the others taken care of in Christ. And you have communication with God. You're relative to God. And God may speak to you any moment. He may speak to you. And He may tell you wonderful things. Wonderful, wonderful things. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. Though Jesus was a man, though Jesus was flesh and blood, yet He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And see, we who are Christians, we who are sons of God, we who are born to the Word of God, we have that great, wonderful Spirit of God on the inside of us. That great, loving blessing of God on the inside of us. God speaking to us all the time. It is a mind. That mind is there because we seek Him. We seek after Him that we may be found of Him. And He's always talking to us all through the day. God talks to me all through the night. God talks to me all through my lifetime. God talks to me. He's always speaking to me. And like the prophet said here, the Bible said, and it was revealed unto him. We speak of revelation. See, that is coming into a place to where the Spirit can revelate to us. Praying that God will grant unto us the Spirit of revelation. For the Bible said, and by the Spirit it was revealed unto him that he should not see death until this great thing took place. Now, I want to be in touch with God. I have the mind of Christ, but I've got to surrender my body. I've got to surrender my brain. I've got to surrender my members to Christ. If I am to project Christ to the world, if I am to communicate with Christ, if I am to communicate with God, I've got to make a full surrender. I've got to make a full surrender. See, there's no other way to communicate with God unless I make a full surrender. So then, I have to make a full surrender to God if I am to communicate with God. I've got to give way to the Spirit of the Lord. And the only way that I can do that, the only way that I can give way to the Spirit of God is sometimes then I have to surrender up. Now, a lot of people are not spiritual. Paul said, I would that you be spiritual. A lot of people don't even have the Spirit of God on the inside, so God can't communicate with them. A lot of people are just not spiritual. They are natural. They're carnal. All they think about is eating and drinking and frolic and the things of the world. The appetites of the body, that's all they're interested in. The only thing that ever speaks to them is their own spirit. And the Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? That spirit on the inside of you, that life that God has given you as far as a human life, that it is a lustful spirit that lusts unto envy? That all it does is lust after the passions of the body and lust after food? It lusts after riches? And the things of this world, because Satan has interwoven himself on the inside with that spirit, and that Satan is in control of that life, and that life is in Satan's hand. That life is in the hands of a parasite. But God's Spirit, when God's Spirit comes in, it eradicates the darkness. It moves out all of that. And then our life becomes one life with God. And then the mind that speaks to us is not our own mind. Whereas the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought. So then, when God's Spirit takes my spirit, and my spirit and God's Spirit becomes one life, one spirit, it is no longer temporal life, but it is eternal life and an eternal spirit. So then that talks to me then is God. And He tells me the wonderful things of God, and as the prophet said, it is revealed unto me. His desire, His will, His way, His word is revealed unto me. Now, At this very moment, at this very hour, we've got a problem at Little Bethlehem. I believe you'll agree to that. I said there'd come a time when the leaven would try to mix. And there's no way to keep it out. People are going to come. See, we're on the radio. We're on TV. We're in the printed page. And many people have been watching us for a long time but never dared to come down because the mud was on the water. See, the mud was on the water. But when the veil is taken away, that is to say the mud taken off of the water, then the people are going to come to investigate and the people are going to come in. And some of them we're going to catch. Some of them are going to become part of us. Some of them are just going to be troublemakers. Some of them are going to want to be part of it. It was like in the days when they built the wall back in the days of Nehemiah. They're half-breeds. They're just religious people. But they don't know anything about God. They're not acquainted with a spiritual communion in God. They're not acquainted with the Holy Spirit talking to their mind. They're just in a religious, ritualistic, in a cold, formal church and don't know nothing about God. Some of you are acquainted with him. Brother Jim Dyer's the honeyman, we call him. Nice home over here in Conyers. Goes to the big Baptist church there. Jim told me today, he said, I'm tired of it. He said, I can't hardly sit on my seat when the preacher's preaching. Said, I don't get anything out of his preaching. And said, I'm tired of it. Said, it's cold. There's no union, no fellowship. Said, I've been Baptist all of my life, but I'm leaving the Baptist church. I'm getting out of there. Said, there just ain't nothing there. You follow me? See, those people come in and they don't know any better. They're cold. The only world they've got is their own world of human reasoning. And if they've been to school, or if they've been to college, or if they've outwitted some other man and got a little finance or a position in the world, they're choking to death off of their own selves. They're just literally choking to death off of their own selves because they're in their own little world of thinking that they're some great something. You know, that God would feel privileged to have them in the church. And that the preacher and the congregation ought to go out of their way and bend over backwards just to have them in their congregation. God help me to bend one way, but not that way. I'd like to bend the way to help get them out of my congregation. I'm not concerned about professional men. I'm not concerned about movie stars. I'm not concerned about those that are out in the world and frolic that's got money. I don't care about those. They don't mean nothing to me. Not anything from the president and the king on down. But I am concerned about the man that is concerned about God and those that I can reach and touch for Christ and win into the kingdom of God. To me, those are the real dignitaries anyway. Those are the real rich men anyway. Those are the real gods anyway. The others is just a bunch of squatters that God will soon clear off the land. So then we don't need to compromise. We don't need to bend over backwards for them. That's what's wrong with the church today. Brethren, that's why that the Spirit is not in the church anymore. That's why the blessings of God is not in the church anymore. They've become more interested in the man that's got money that can do something for their cause than they have human souls. And that is an abomination in the sight of God. Christ was more interested in the widow than he was the king. Now you say, now you're talking, Brother Pike, you know you can't prove that. According to the Bible, he was. When he stood there and they cast their offering into the treasury, and the widow cast in her two mites, and the rich men came in and cast in all their abundance, Jesus said, I say unto you that this widow has cast in more than all of them. It's obvious that his interest was there. Isn't that right, Brother Walker? So then we see where God's interest is. In the days of Eliseus, in the days of Elijah, in the days of the great famine, God didn't send him to the king. God sent him to a little starving widow. A little widow woman. See? So then, when we seek God, we become spiritual. When we become spiritual, we become Christ-like. When we become Christ-like, we are making communication with God. We're in that place that we want to be, where God can speak to us. And I can be standing here, and God can speak to me about your life. He can tell me what you're thinking on the inside. He can tell me what's happened in your past, what's going to happen in your future. He can tell me your present condition while you're standing in the presence of God. Now, the Bible said the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of the soul from the spirit and the marrow from the bone. That means that God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Did you know that a sword can't divide your soul from the spirit? The sharpest whetted sword in the world couldn't divide your soul and spirit. But see, God's Word, God's Spirit, is so keen that it can, through a discernment, through a translating means, go right into your body, right into your spirit, right into your mind, right into your very deep inside being and your subconscious, and go in there and just separate everything and just put it right in order just like it ought to be. The Holy Spirit can take your spirit, bring out the revelation on it, and take your soul and put it in another category and bring out the revelation on it. It can separate the life from the soul and leave the body laying there, cold without life. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can discern your thoughts. It can even discern the intents of your heart. And what is God's Word but His Spirit? It is God's Spirit. Therefore, we must be spiritual. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon that prophet, and he said, "It was revealed to me." You know, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me. Now, some of you know what I'm speaking of. Brother Gareth, there's been times when you've been sitting around, and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon you. Isn't that right? And God would reveal something to you. Isn't that right? Now, I've been sitting with Brother Gareth, time to be sitting around talking, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord would come down, and it would be something would be revealed to Gary, and I would know that God had spoke to him because tears would come into his eyes, and his heart looked like it would just blow up like a balloon, and his cup would just be running over, just exceeding, and couldn't contain himself because something had been revealed to him. It wasn't his mind that did that, because his mind don't make him, his eyes well up with tears. His mind don't make him all of a sudden do like that. If it does, why isn't he doing it right now? See, if it's a human mind, why doesn't everybody do it? But when Christ is spirit and Christ is mind comes in there, oh, it starts churning and something starts happening. And then it begins to swell up and you feel that thing, that exhilaration, that quickening, that activation of God, that re-energizing that's different from all human energy. And your cup runs over and it just does something. It melts you on the inside like a candle. I'm sure that here in the services, that there's times when we speak to you, where as the terms is used, that Peter went down to Cornelius's, he preached the gospel and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. There's times when the Holy Ghost falls upon you. Sometimes when we're preaching, I'm sure that before we ever say what we're going to say in spiritual revelation or spiritual understanding, that on many occasions you'll be sitting there and your spirit and mind will be already have entered into the Spirit of God of the anointing, and you're going on ahead and seeing it before I say it, and then when I say it, you say, "My God, I knew that's what He's going to say." See, because the Holy Ghost, because you got spiritual, He revealed it to you. That's why the Bible said when we come together, we worship God. If something be revealed to one, let the other hold his peace. So then something might be revealed to you. Your cup might just be running over. And you just might want to get up and prophesy or get up and say something and say, "God said this." "Oh, I know this is God." Somebody said, "Well, I wouldn't know if it was God or not." Don't you ever think that. I'll tell you right now, you'll know whether it's God or not. You can tell the difference. You can tell the difference whether it's God or not. I hear people prophesy, you know, all down through my lifetime, Bill. I've heard them prophesy, and I still hear them prophesy. But I know when it's God. I know, like the Bible said, it's like, is it Vanessa that wrote the song, "God in Another Form"? They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us Don't you think of that? Said, did not my heart burn, lit up like a candle? It burned on the inside of me. Did not my heart burn like fire shut up in my bones? Said, when he talked with me, said, it burned inside of me. Glory to God, when God speaks to you, you can feel it burning. You can feel it burning. One writer, he got all upset and he said, I ain't preaching no more. I ain't prophesying no more. I ain't doing nothing more. He just sat down. And about that time, the Holy Ghost grabbed him and began to shake him like that. And he said, I said, no, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't keep quiet, he said. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it might be for prophecy, it might be for interpretation. It might be to reveal a great thing. It might be, you might not say more than two or three words. You might just get up and say, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord just said to me that a person's going to have a wreck. A person's going to do this. A person's going to be blessed. Or some particular thing that God has said. You know, it could very well be that. I've had all kinds of things revealed to me. Have you, Brother Walker? All kinds of things revealed to me. About wrecks, about this, about prosperity for people, about their loved ones, about answers to their prayers. So many wonderful things. And if we as the church could just be spiritual, when we come to church, just let's get together and love Jesus and be spiritual. Don't be nervous and tense and tore up and bogged down all the time. Don't do that. Don't be resentful and fault-finding and fill your mind with the garbage of the world. You're too great for that. Listen, the husk. Let's use good old-fashioned English. The slop is for the pigs. You're not supposed to fill your belly with the husk that the swine would eat. The Bible said the swine goeth back to the wallowing in the mire. But you're not swine. You're too great for that. You're great, mighty sons and daughters of God. Don't fill your bellies with the husk of this world and all of the garbage of this world. And then push God out to where you can't be in the Father's presence like the prodigal. And you can't have the blessings of the Father. And you can't have the ring on your finger. You know, I still treasure the ring that's on my finger. I think about this a lot of times. Down in Florida when the angel of the Lord came to me and put the ring on my finger. I still treasure that ring because it's still there. I've always been careful to try to never lose that ring that God placed on my finger. Because I know that He'd done something for me. And every person that belongs to Christ Jesus, the Bible said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, take for instance, now like tonight, it's like the case here where these people come in. I'm sure they must have been fine people. The woman was dressed fairly nice. The boys was in short pants, but the man was fairly decent. We could have welcomed them in and no doubt have helped them. But Jerry certainly didn't do anything to offend them in any way. He tried to be a gentleman and help them, but just like that. See, don't you know when you are that way that you abide in death? Don't you know that when you're in that kind of condition that nobody can help you? Now you say, well, Brother Pike, that could have been somebody's relatives. I can't help it. If it was my own relatives, it could have been mine. I don't know. I didn't see them that well. But there's one thing about it, irregardless to who they was. They were wrong in what they did. Their action certainly was not right. Not even justified as reasonable people, let alone Christians, to come into the house of God and to act that way. You understand what I'm saying, children of God? There's got to be standards in the world. There's got to be standards in life. There's got to be something in our life that'll make us do right. And the only way that it can be that way is for us to seek after Him. If we seek Him with all of our heart. You know, I'll say this in closing. Some of our young girls, they need to wake up. They're doing better, some of them. They get reckless, and then I say something, and they get a little better. And then I see the Lord begin to lift, you know, things to where they're not going to get hurt or get in trouble. And then they get back down the hog pens again. They get their minds going again between them of some old gummy, slummy stuff, you know. Like some of them out of Texas, they're getting some kind of records out of Texas now. I told my wife to stop it from coming to my house. A lot of junk and a lot of old slimy mess coming out to pollute their minds. I know there's a... You say, well, there's some good among it. I know there's some good among it.
When the devil quoted the scripture to Jesus, there was some good among it, wasn't it? It was the word of God. Jesus didn't deny it. You know the devil's going to mix something in with it. How else could he get you to look at it? That's his way of getting into your home and into your heart. But folks, what we need is real virtue. We need it all the way. We're just a little leaven, we'll leaven the whole lump. We need to stay clean all the way. If the thing ain't all the way clean, leave it alone. Don't mess with it, not one bit. Leave it alone. That way everything will work out all right for you. All right, I appreciate your kindness and bearing with us. Sorry the people couldn't stay. Maybe they'll come back again. Maybe the Lord will reprove them. You can't ever tell when people go out like that. It may not get 2 miles up the road before the death of their child, or some tragic thing may happen, depending on how much opportunity they've had to hear or whatever. I understand that Joe was painting a house the other day, and some woman over there that had more or less been against us because of her pastor's attitude. A little explanation, and I understand that she took them at their word and watched this on TV, and now she's satisfied and may even come to church. So you don't ever know. Thing to do is pray for those people. Stand for your rules and regulations. Amen. Try to be just as loving, as kind as you can. Make just as much allowance as you can with all wisdom to bend over as far as you can. But don't transgress the word of God in doing it. We don't have to bend over to get people. There'll be plenty of people coming. That's no problem. Plenty of people in the world. You can get plenty of people coming. What we want to do is, as the Bible said, they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved. We don't want to add nobody to this church unless they should be saved. Come to church, that's one thing. Come to the building, you know. But God ain't going to add them to the church unless they should be saved. As many as believed or were ordained unto eternal life, they did believe. All right. Let's stand together. I want you to really pray that God will open your eyes and God will speak to you. God will tell you spiritual things and indoctrinate you. For He loves you and He wants to help you. We are always grateful for people to come to the house of God, even those that did not stay, did not have any reverence. We appreciate them coming anyway. And we hope that they can come back maybe and be with us later. We pray that the Lord will deal with them. Also glad to have Scotty with us tonight. Trust it won't be long before he and his companion, a little family, will be back in church regular with us. We miss Scotty. He's a fine person to be around. The Lord's got control of his heart, and he's very needed in some things that, as a matter of fact, I needed him to do something this very day that he could have done had he been here, having the ability and skill he's got. But let's just pray. Brother Michael Bradley was telling me that he ran into Eddie Ray. And we've been praying for Eddie Ray because I felt like maybe Eddie would be a little heavy-hearted now. And Michael said it was obvious that he was. And that he more or less acted like he would love to come back. But he didn't hardly know how that he would be received by the brotherhood. He didn't say those things, but Mike said he perceived that that was about the size of it. And pray for our brother Tobin him. Sister Juanita sat and cried the other day in the home there. She really cried. She wept bitterly. And she said that, you know, that she really wanted to do what was right. And that she didn't want to sell her home. She didn't want to leave from down here. Sister Pixie was there, and she's wanting to be back with the brothers and sisters here. So let's just pray. Dale and Frank has moved back in now with the brotherhood. And Brother Child and him wants to come back so bad. Charlie said, Brother Pike said, God dealt with me more in this place than any place I have ever been in my life. And said, I am the happiest at Little Bethlehem. And even though he feels like that he may not ever be able to get back in with us like he wants to because of the way things has happened, yet his heart and longing is to be here. And the wife wrote not too long ago, and she was pleading for prayer over and over. Brother Bill Nelson is trying to get back up, he and his wife. He wanted to buy the home down here. Was planning to buy the home of Frank and Dale, but they moved back in. And let's just pray for them that God will work out something for them. Bill talked to me about it. He can't quite get his bearings on things. He's got a good job where he's at. And just numbers of them that want to come back that has left. Sister Cook's son talked to me not too long ago. He came over and visited with me. And he told me how much he longed to be here. He said, me and my wife longs to be at Bethlehem, Brother Pike. He said, but we purpose in our heart that if we can't get back and live for God and be a blessing, then we don't want to come back. But said, we long to be here. And said, after a few more months, said, he told me some time of the year that it might be that they would be able to consider moving back at that time. But let's just pray and ask God to do something for those people. Those that are here with us, let's pray. There's at least four more families of Moa that is wanting to move down. I mentioned it to you the other night. They're wanting to move down to Bethlehem from different states and different places. I got a letter from Brother Glenn, Sister Joyce's husband, and their heart also is here. And he was praising this work, how that he had seen this stand. He said, Brother Pike, I've seen the other ministers go down, but I've seen this one stand. And there is a number of people that are wanting to come. As a matter of fact, one of them that I mentioned to you that was wanting to come, he wrote a letter and said he was moving when, Betty, right? Pretty soon now. He's coming down pretty soon. And said he's already moving down. So he's made up his mind and making arrangements already. So let's work together and let's be brothers and sisters in Christ and let's try to do something for God. The door is closing. The day is far spent. Many people will come running. The midnight cry will sound. The foolish will realize that life is gone and they'll be so miserable until they'll be tormented to death. And they'll run. Dope won't stop it. Whiskey won't stop it. Money won't stop it. Frolic won't stop it. Won't be nothing that can keep them from just going slap out of their minds. And they'll run. They'll run and beg and plead. There'll be hundreds and thousands. But unless you and I just stay steady in the boat now, and if there's anything lacking in your life, let's get it straightened out. Stop this old resentment, jealousy, this old thing from one service to another that you've got slap out of the boat and you come back in and you're so far out in the world out there till I have to go back and start rebuking and reproving all over and get your mind all back and remake you again in the end of the service before you ever do get lined up again. Let's get out of that old thing and get in here once and for all. And the Bible said, they that are given to change, leave them alone. When a man, yeah, you got to always get him in and out. The Bible said, there's more hope for a fool than a man that's hasty in spirit. If you restore him, you'll just have to restore him again. Let's love one another. We sing a little chorus together. I hope that the things that we're saying from time to time, I hope they're beneficial to you. We've spent our many years of our life preaching the gospel. And we have ministered many hundreds of times throughout the different parts of the world. And I hope that what we have said and what we have done has not been wasted, but that it has fell on good ground and that some seed has taken roots to bring forth the harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100, depending on the surrender, depending on the fertile ground. But let's do our best. Jim sang that song tonight. Come on, brother, let's make 100. 99 and a half won't do. Let's try to do that. Let's try to do that. You know, it's so easy when you get back over in the carnal mind. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. To get over the carnal mind is so easy to forget about Jesus. And the things of God are superficial and not real. They're not meaningful anymore. But then after you get out there and you feel the bitter sting of the evil, enjoying sin for a season, the frolic, but after a while you pay with the life of your child. You pay with the life of your wife, or you pay when you turn into a whoremonger and she a prostitute, or when all the finance falls through, or when your mind snaps on you, or some tragedy takes place, or you suddenly discover that you've got a dreadful disease that's been eating you up all the time. So you start paying, payday comes. Then you're snapped to attention. And all of a sudden, God's world, which was not a world of reality, a world that hath no reality to you, or had no reality to you before, suddenly becomes a world of reality. And you realize as a God that there's a penalty, that there's another life that you should be pursuing. So then let's love one another and let's do the right thing. Can we sing that chorus together?
We're making a lot of changes now. I hope you don't get weary of me telling you these things. A lot of changes, bringing in some new stipulations, rules, and regulations to correct a lot of the disorder. Kind of a new curriculum, as we would say, for the order of our children in God here. Things that we've already tried to get them to do, but they failed to do, and we're kind of getting them a little more orderly, a little more strength to them, to where you can understand how needful they are. Brother Mitch is bringing out a new form called general purpose schedule, which is a pre-schedule to let you know ahead and to get you to make a commitment ahead as to the days that you're going to be in the office and the time you're going to be there and how many hours you're going to put in and what you're going to do to eliminate a lot of the fellowship in the offices and to get some production. Since Mitch is the production manager, that's his job. And he's doing a splendid job of trying to coordinate people and get them to work together, but it gets mighty discouraging sometimes. And I'm expecting those that take the forms to work with us. School will be around in just a little while, maybe 4 or 5 more weeks. When school comes around, I've been talking to God about what He wanted this year and what I understood, and so far, what I have understood, I have tried to do. We've got about 6 men and 6 women, men and wife, each one of them, that'll be carrying on the schoolwork this year. And they will be rotating 3 days 1 week, 2 days the next week. And I think it will work out all right until we can get a little farther down the trail. That'll give everybody a break, because within 3 days, the man and the woman will only have put in 1 day and a half for God, because it's only a half a day teaching. That gives them Sunday for worship and 4 days and a half to do whatever they need to do. And if they work an hour too late or go an hour too early, they get in their regular 5 days a week and still teach those 3 half days. The 2 days is only 1 day out of the week, which means they have 5 days to do whatever they want to and 1 day to go to church, and it only requires 1 day of their service. There'll be 12 people in all. They'll be teaching, as far as I know now. Brother Jimmy will be one that'll be helping us this year. And Brother Taylor, Brother Mitch, Brother Bill, and Brother Hollis, and we have one more, Brother Jameson, Brother John Jameson. As far as I know now, unless these men decide not to help me, these are the 6 men. And then, of course, I'm not acquainted with the women too well. I know that you know that each one of them is the wife to each one I name. So I know that Sister Hollis will be teaching this year, as far as I know now, unless she decides not to. So I want you to pray for us, and I want you to work with us, because we need your help. We need your help.